Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 47 for August 8th, 2013. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like the Spanish Announce Table, the Real Mother Effing News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School, and before we get into the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you could tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies.net. So without further ado, let's get into the panel this week. We got Mr. Heavyset.
Allons-y.
Kev Botrek.
Ahoy, hoy.
We got Will.
Thanks for having me.
And last but certainly not least, Gallifrey.
Hello, guys.
All right, let's get right into it. Let's get into the news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Our six news stories to choose from this week. Actually, we have seven. One recently submitted by Kev Botrek. Batman will be older in Batman vs. Superman. Fox announces three Avatar sequels, Universal moving Born Legacy sequel forward with Jeremy Renner, Ellen DeGeneres back to host the 86th annual Academy Awards in 2014, Danny Trejo faces Mel Gibson's soldiers in a new Machete Kills trailer, The Legend of Zelda film pitch that never happened, and the one recently submitted by Kev Botrek, the Lone Ranger filmmakers blame critics for their horrible box office. Let's start with our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
I really like this link for the Legend of Zelda film pitch. See what I did there?
I really like what you did there. And Kev Botrek was saying, get rid of that story. Nobody wants to talk about it. I told you, Kev. All right. Ever wonder what an animated film based on the popular Legend of Zelda Nintendo video game series would look like? At one point, Imagi Studios, the one that's doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Astro Boy, assembled a pitch reel for such a project. Now, in the show notes, we're going to actually show the link. And Heavyset, I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, to be honest, we've been saying this in previous episodes. There hasn't been a good video game movie out. You know, some people could say maybe some crappy thing called Resident Evil or, you know, maybe the first Tomb Raider. But apart from that, there hasn't been much. So, do you think Nintendo's making a mistake in not pushing their franchises in big motion pictures because of what happened in the early 90s?
You see, Nintendo's probably got a lot of things on their mind, on their plate, that has really messed with them, especially like when they took their poster boy Mario and put him in the movie, and that thing is completely horrible from a movie standpoint. I mean, granted, I watched it as a kid and I enjoyed it, but going back as an adult, you look at it and go, oh my god, this is terrible. It's what I refer to as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 syndrome. Watch it as a kid, yeah. You think it's great, and then as an adult, you go, oh my god. But I think the one thing that's great about this, it's CGI. I don't think Zelda could work as a live action because there's so much could be involved, and you're probably talking just a huge budget, and then they don't know how well it would do. But I think if they stuck with CGI, and it's sad that we can't play this little pitch because it's all pretty much visual. The audio is nice, but just won't work. And I kind of liked it. And I wish there was more to it. And I mean, granted, I think one thing you will run into is depending how much people like the series. Like for me, I'm more of the older games, like the Nintendo and Super Nintendo games. I didn't really get into the older ones. And some people are the opposite way. So, I mean, that kind of takes how you like it. But the Zelda series in general is probably I want to say it's the top Nintendo franchise, but it's right up there with Mario. Those two, I think, fight it out. But they already screwed up with the cartoon for this. And I think a lot of people would be pissed if this movie would get screwed up too.
You know what? Like, I understand their hesitation because of what did happen, but it's a different time now. And you've seen how they've done great work with all the DC stuff, well, most of the DC stuff, all the Marvel stuff. And the superhero movies and video game movies are a lot more just widely worked on and widely adopted. I think the most marketable character in the whole Nintendo franchise is Link, to be honest. I mean, Mario, I just don't see it working in a movie, but I do see Legend of Zelda working in a movie. Live action would be great. I understand maybe why they would do more of like an animated feature, but this could be the thing that Nintendo requires to really rejuvenate their product. Right now, they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars. So to see this revenue stream continue to be untapped, I think is such a waste of valuable resources. Anybody else want to chime in?
I will. There's two things I was going to mention, and you mentioned one of them about, you know, Nintendo struggles right now. And like you, I think this could be a good way for them to kind of open up new avenues of revenue that they wouldn't have, and maybe even revitalize, you know, their consoles a bit. So I'm really surprised they haven't gone forward with it. Yes, I think it has to be an animated movie for it to work, but I'm really surprised they haven't gone forward with it. And the second thing I wanted to mention, I don't know if like how you guys felt about it, but I thought the trailer was a bit dark. And do you think it would be marketed more towards adults, or would it be something everyone could watch? Because if it's marketed just towards adults, I don't think it would do nearly as well.
Adults would be a mistake, in my opinion.
But did you get that feel from the trailer? Or because I got it was more of an adult movie from the trailer.
To be honest, to me, it came off like a video game.
It looked dark, but I found that it was, I think it's for everyone, because in the Legend of Zelda franchise, you don't actually see, you know, blood. When they kill someone, it's more like they fade into dust or whatever. So I think in that sense, they can get to a PG rating if they wish. So even though it looks dark, it'll be like Harry Potter 3, you know, dark, but everyone can enjoy it.
You know, I've said this multiple times. I think what's going to happen is Nintendo's going to sell. They're going to get bought out by Microsoft or Sony at this point.
How? Why?
Because they're losing a crap ton of money.
No, it's not. People say this every single time. It happened last time with the Wii as well. The only reason why it's not selling is because there's no games to sell. But looking at this is not a Nintendo podcast, you know, but just to be quick about it, looking at the reaction towards announcements at E3, once games like Super Smash Bros. Comes out, the new Zelda, the next Mario Kart, you will see a total shift in sales. This happens all the time for Nintendo.
I'd like to wager a little side bet, because I say within 2 years, one of the big two buy them.
But do you think
maybe, side bet.
Obviously, this isn't a Nintendo podcast, but the thing I will throw out there, the thing that keeps Nintendo afloat is the handheld systems, because they have always been the leader
in
market.
In Asia only.
The Nintendo DS is still very big
here. The DS is still number one. Yeah, it is. Look at Animal Crossing's Green Leaf. You know, that's what everybody's playing these days on handhelds.
If I'm a Nintendo shareholder and I see me losing $300 million a quarter, I'm going to say...
No, you don't get it. You're not losing $200 million a quarter. Nintendo is. You're losing a percentage of your share. But you should know that by
You're not listening
stock.
To me, Matt. Listen, dude. Fine. If I'm a big-time shareholder and I see me losing tons of money, the end game is not making consoles. The end game is selling to a big player, in my opinion. They're going bye-bye. 2 years are gone.
Old school? We'll do a side bet. Okay. Actually, I like the side bet, because it means that in 2 years we'll still be friends, hopefully.
Still be on the show.
Yeah.
If I don't hate your guts, I'll keep the bet going.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. But you know what? We'll do, how about $10? Just to keep it cute and friendly, $10.
I'm fine with $10.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I don't think they'll be bought in 2 years at all.
Kebo Trek, you were saying.
I think maybe the end game for Nintendo is not being bought, but do you think they'd ever sell their games to other consoles? Like, maybe stop producing new consoles and just focus on the games?
You mean go the Sega route?
Exactly.
And just license the games.
Exactly.
I think that'd be a great move for them. And they could also license their titles to movie companies. Maybe they'd be more open-minded at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. I know we're getting a little sidetracked here. We're talking about video games. That's more for the Fat Ninjas podcast. Check that out. If you Google Fat Ninja, for sure you're going to hit his podcast. It's very good, very informative, talking a lot about video games and such. I'm actually going to be doing a review for my Android console, the Ouya, which as other players were a little disappointed in the we're talking about bad content. Nintendo doesn't have a lot of content. Ouya has about 15 games. But again, we're getting a little sidetracked here. So Kebo Trek, what would you like to discuss this week?
I will discuss the Lone Ranger filmmakers' Blame Critics.
It's very interesting you brought this up because I actually saw the movie and really enjoyed it, and I kind of agree on their opinion here. Let me read the article quickly. One difference between the big-budget box office features of Disney's John Carter and The Lone Ranger was reviews. Film critics weren't gushing, but a good portion were quite taken with John Carter and sung its praises. Ranger also has its defenders, but most critics tore into the $250 million budget film, which has made a mere $87 million at the domestic box office so far. Now, those behind it are blaming film reviewers for the lack of turnout to see the film. Actor Johnny Depp tells the Yahoo UK, "I think the reviews were written 7 to 8 months before we even released the film. I think the reviews were probably written when they heard that Jerry Bruckheimer and I were going to do The Lone Ranger. They had expectations that it must be a blockbuster. I didn't have any expectations of that. I never do." So I'm going to agree with him in this case. I really think that the crapping on this movie was done as more of like a bandwagon jumper. People were quick to judge. And I'm sure a lot of these online reviews and that probably people didn't even go see the film or had this bias in mind. When I went to see the film myself, had an open mind, I thought it was actually pretty good. Let's get your thoughts.
I mostly disagree with the article. I think there might be some truth to it, but, and I know we've discussed this before, but I think the major reason for people not seeing the movie is the trailer. I mean, like I was yeah. When I heard about that Lone Ranger was going to be produced, I was excited for it, and as soon as I saw the trailer, it just all went away. It was like, I know you said it wasn't like that, but to me it was a typical Bruckheimer movie, and it wasn't something I wanted to see with The Lone Ranger. So I don't think, you know, maybe critics did have some effect, but I mean, we've seen movies, look at Transformers, look at, you know, things like that, where even though they got trash reviews, they still made a lot of bank.
But do you base your decision to go to see a movie solely based on a trailer? I'm sure you must have went to Rotten Tomatoes, maybe saw the low reviews. You tell me that didn't factor in at all.
Honestly, not really. In most, probably 95% of whether I decide to see a movie or not is based on the trailers. I mean, my favorite movie series has about an average rating of 20 on Rotten Tomatoes. So unless it's a very, very specific case, I let it, you know, it's mostly the trailer and if I wanted to see the movie beforehand.
Yeah, but you have to admit at a certain point, like, negative reviews, even before the movie was released, has to have some kind of effect.
Maybe a little, but I think they're overstating it because, I mean, they mentioned John Carter as well in the article, and they're saying it got better reviews, but it still flopped. Like, let's even say we can give it an extra $15 million if the reviews were a bit better. I still don't think it was enough to really offset the kind of financial backing they put it. And even if the critics would have reviewed it a lot better, I still don't think it would have did well because to me, and I feel to most people, the trailer just didn't sell it.
Wait, can I chime in or no? Are we running a long time? Okay, cool. Just want to say that I do agree with Depp in when he says that the reviews were written way in advance. Not in the way he says it, but more, I'll tell you how it works. I don't know if it's the same with you guys, but what I've been noticing and what happens to me is that it's always really exciting when a movie fails. This sounds almost sadistic on my behalf. To
it sounds like a troll comment.
No, it's, you know, it's a troll comment, right, though.
But it's true because you know what? You look because it's fun to make fun of a film. Like for example, bashing M. Night Shyamalan. You know how much I love doing that. And I mean, like movies like The Happening. People wait for these movies. Yes, they're horrible, but you know what? You have as much joy talking about how horrible the movie was, you know, as watching a good film. So, you know, at times, I mean, you have whole movie review sites dedicated to just talking bashing films.
Shyamalan could have made the greatest movie ever.
He could have.
But because you've got that bias in your head, you're going to instantly hate the film.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
saying in general, like when you come in to watch a movie like this with a negative attitude.
Yeah, okay.
And just like, I'm going to crap on this movie. It could be a great movie. But regardless, you're still going to have that negative bias
Okay, yes. You know what? You're totally correct. And that falls into the whole Lone Ranger. People had a negative thing from the very beginning. They were fed up with the Verbinski Depp. There was the whole thing that Depp was not an Amerindian playing an Amerindian's role. There was the film just didn't have anything working for it. There was the whole thing with, like, the whole amount of money that it cost. You know, I mean, looking at those articles of saying how much it cost, people were just saying, well, what if it bombs? You know, and slowly it's like it became a self... What's the word?
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah, what if this movie bombs? And it does. It's like people wanted it to bomb in a way. Another big difference between this and John Carter. John Carter did not open in the summer. It opened right before. And it wasn't like the Sacrificial Lamb of the summer. I forget which one it was last year. But every summer needs this one thing to fail. So so it could fuel sites. Also, usually websites get more hits for negative reviews than positive reviews. So, I'm just saying that every summer you need a movie to fail. And in this summer, it happened to fall on this one.
You made a great point about people almost getting excited for a movie to fail. Or it's kind of like that car crash syndrome where you kind of can't look away from it. Even though it's like something bad, you want to look away and kind of talk about it or whatever. And I think it's the same way for movies. And yeah, The Lone Ranger just happened to fit that bill.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that they could have done to make this salvageable? What would you have done if I came to you, you were a producer, and I said, make The Lone Ranger?
I would have, assuming we're keeping the exact same movie, I would have did the trailer in a completely different way. That was my issue. Like, after I saw the trailer, and you said it was better than, it was actually an okay movie. But, let's be honest. The thing that sells most people is a trailer. And if you're not a trailer that, grips people and makes them want to go to the theater, the battle's already lost. It can be the best movie ever, but if you're not gripping people with that 2 to 3 minute trailer, it's going to be for naught.
Oh, wait, Kevin, I would say the trailer and the cast. But in this case, the cast was there. It's just that, that's the combination, I think, that usually sells.
Oh, yeah, if you have both, you're gold, but it...
Yeah. This movie had the cast, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Would you have casted Depp?
I go back and forth on that. You figure it would be a good role for him, but do you think in this case it might have been better with an unknown? Because it would have probably brought the budget down at least a bit.
But at that point, you've then got... But then one relatively unknown unknown
yeah,
in the movie.
That's true.
But you can make the Lone Ranger, at that point, you can make the Lone Ranger someone who's more famous. Like, I don't know. It's Westerns don't sell too well. That's another thing, too.
Yeah, that's the exact. They're not very big sellers, so when you're having a $250 million budget, minus, probably the advertising prints and all that, it's a recipe for a disaster.
But it was more like a Wild Wild West. It was more like an action.
Dude, do you know how bad this sounds right now?
No, I'm comparing it in terms of revenue. I'm comparing it in terms of more of like a blockbuster than a Western.
But that's the problem. I don't think those kind of blockbusters really work for Westerns. I mean, we even saw Cowboys and Aliens didn't do...
That's true, yeah.
Like it seems like the big-budget Westerns just don't work.
So you say maybe make this for $20 million with two unknowns?
Or maybe not $20 million, but I mean, $75
million. Yeah, I was going to say $75 million. Yeah, you could do that.
$75 is still what it lost.
Probably, but they wouldn't be losing hundreds of millions like they're going to be losing.
Wait a minute. Westerns don't do good? I thought Lawless did awesome.
Lost was very low budget.
Jesus.
Nice.
Referring back to episode, 3? That's awesome.
Great old school there. Reference.
Yeah.
Well, now when someone says Westerns, that's literally what pops in my mind.
That's awesome. All right. Gallifrey, what would you like to discuss this week?
I'd like to discuss the filmmakers continuing with the Bourne legacy with Jeremy Renner in the lead.
You're a big fan of Renner, by the way.
I'm somewhat of a fan of Jeremy
and
Renner.
And she is, I think, twice removed from Renner. Family-wise.
How does that work?
It's true. Do we have time for this?
Guys? Twice removed.
Sure. Okay. Go ahead.
My cousin's husband's older sister is married to Jeremy Renner's father.
What is that? Would we be playing 6 degrees of Jeremy Renner right now?
That's the relation. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I can see why you're a fan. All right. So back in February, Universal indicated that they were planning to move forward with a sequel to The Bourne Legacy, following Jeremy Renner as the Operation Outcome agent, Aaron Cross, who was targeted for termination. With the help of one of the program's doctors, Cross was able to overcome his reliance on medication that kept his biological enhancements of his body and mind in check. Now his story will definitely continue, as Deadline reports the studio has hired Anthony Peckham to script the follow-up that takes place in the universe of the Bourne Identity franchise. Gallifrey, you know, I'll say this. I haven't seen the latest one. I thought ending on the third one was fine. The fact that they continued without Matt Damon seemed like a cash grab. I am not interested at all in seeing this. Do you agree or disagree?
I you know what? I'm at a crossroads here because I preferred Matt Damon in the lead. I saw it ended with Ultimatum, I thought this was a great ending. And then Legacy came out, and I watched it with my friends, and they loved it, but I was saying how this is inferior to the trilogy. I kept saying it was inferior. I didn't feel that Renner was a good lead, even though he's a great actor, but I just didn't feel it, you know? On the one hand, I think it's great that they're moving forward with this, because now we get to follow another lead character, and then get the franchise continues, and we get to see more, you know, of this kind of mystery or drama. And so that's one side to look at it. But on the other hand, we saw how Terminator Salvation did. It continuing with the trilogy didn't do well. I don't think that Salvation was a good way to end that franchise. And so this, having another actor take the lead in this franchise, it seems like a really bad idea, because Legacy didn't do as well as the trilogy, and now they're continuing with this. So I'm not that interested in seeing the sequels, but if they do continue moving forward, I will watch it because I want to see where they go with this. And it could be good. You never know. It could be another trilogy in the making here. You get the Matt Damon trilogy, and then you get the Jeremy Renner trilogy. And like in the article says, if we're able to take the two of them and put it in a kind of a crossover movie, that would be pretty awesome.
He would never do it.
But I think that would be cool, though.
He'd never do it.
They would never do it, but it could be so awesome if they did do that. Because then you can see like how their stories interacted at some point, because it was happening at the same time. You never saw Bourne Legacy, so you didn't know what event was going on at the time?
No, I haven't seen
it. Well, like the beginning of Renner's story was supposed to be in the same time that Matt Damon's had his,
Matt Damon!
Matt Damon, what am I saying wrong?
What are you referring to, old school?
It's Matt Team America.
Damon.
It's a reference from Team America.
Okay.
I just remember the sex scene. That's all I remember from that movie.
Refer to Team America. All right, sorry, you were saying.
But they would have to do much better than Legacy. Legacy was largely inferior. It paled in comparison. It was not that interesting. And you know what? It had one chase scene that went on forever, reminiscent of the Terminator 3. It was so boring. I don't know why they throw in so many action scenes that don't have any point to them. There was really one really long chase scene in Legacy.
Was there shaky cam? Yeah,
it's because their main actor is not a draw.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He is these days now.
Hansel and Gretel, that did amazing.
What about Avengers?
I liked Hansel and Gretel, you guys.
Avengers, like he's the lead in Avengers.
He's forgotten in Avengers.
He was introduced in Avengers.
Hey, he was made evil. That's how you forget him.
That's like saying Stan Lee's headlining one of the Marvel movies.
You know what? Surprise. I watched Amazing Spider-Man just to see a scene. True story.
You know what? Might as well end this. Make another trilogy with him and then have that end.
Actually, wait. Speaking of Stan Lee, guys, me and Gallifrey rewatched X-Men 1 just so I could show her that Stan Lee is indeed in the movie.
Yeah, he was.
So see, yeah, see.
Just check the YouTube clip.
No. We watched the whole film.
And then he had to point it out to me. I'm like, yeah, okay, I can see him now.
Did you see him without me pointing to you?
No, I didn't.
Okay. All right, well, now that we got you on the line, what would you like to discuss
what
this
is
week?
Left again? Please let me know.
We have left. Fox announces 3 Avatar sequels.
Mm-hmm.
We have Ellen DeGeneres back to host the 86th Annual Academy Awards. We got a trailer for Machete Kills. And I believe that's it.
Batman.
Oh, and Batman. Isn't that the one you brought up?
I don't know. Which one should I pick? You know what, guys? I'll go for Batman.
Yeah, big surprise. That's what you've been talking about all week.
Shut up, guys.
Yeah, this was confirmed by the Hollywood box office that they're going to actually go with an older, kind of middle-aged Batman for the second Superman film. Let's get your thoughts on this, man.
This is beautiful. This is what I wanted. Because I'll tell you what, the thing is this, everybody who I want to play Batman, for a while I was like, oh, well, it can't be any of these guys. It'll have to be an unknown. It'll have to be a young kid. I hate it. Because Batman is not supposed to be a younger guy. He's... I never saw him. Anyways, people in DC are usually not young. That's how you can tell the difference between Marvel and DC. Marvel are usually teens. Or they're...
young adults?
They're young adults usually in Marvel, yeah. Or they're like professors with technology, whatever. But in DC, it's always older people. It's older men. I'd say in their 30s, 40s. And as you saw, Henry Cavill, I believe, is 33 in the movie. So it's they're already, you know, they're older. So when I thought they would make a reboot and they'd have a younger Batman, I don't like the idea. I'd like to see, like, I don't know, to me, Batman has experience, especially if he's supposed to go against Superman. You need a Batman who can take him, at least, you know, mentally, who can be prepared for this. So that's a big out experience. So it didn't make any sense that would be a younger person. Also, anybody who I could see fit to play Batman is 40 or above, like John Hamm, John Barrowman, and most importantly, David Boreanaz, who I supported in our three-part Batman special, which I recommend any listener to please check back on that. This is a great three-parter. You won't miss it. Yeah, you can't miss it. So
the article goes on to discuss that there's one name in the two lists in their article there, and that's Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on him?
You know what? Not bad at all. Not bad at all. He's not – I don't think he's handsome enough to play Bruce Wayne. That's my only thing. He's not a very handsome guy. He's a cool dude, and he's got the jawline for it. But out of the guys they show there, to me, John Hamm has the face which best looks like Bruce Wayne, at least to me. And also Gerard Butler, I find, would work very well. What do you think, Old School?
I'm going with John Hamm. I think
John, me too. Yeah.
Wait. He's hot. He's I was going to say he's hot.
You're going to say he's hot.
How am I going to put this without sounding gay?
No. You know what? I'll say it for you. Okay, John.
I'm at a loss for words here. I'm trying
to say so. Okay, he's tall. He has a nice build, long legs, nice jawline, very defined features. He could be a very handsome Bruce Wayne, and if he's a good actor, because I don't know his work, but if he is, he can do the frowny face properly. He could be
actually. I know how to say this now. He's very popular right now in Hollywood.
Yes.
So I think he would be properly, they'd be a good casting for him. Yeah.
And you know what? I don't think he would be too expensive either, because he's still coming out of TV.
But aren't you worried there's a bit too much, publicity about him?
I'll explain. If you guys don't know, John Hamm has a remarkable penis. I'll explain.
Wow, okay, this show,
guys.
I don't think I want to go there.
No, guys, you can look it up online. John Hamm goes commando all the time. I don't know why. He's a public figure, and yet he will go commando. We can see, everybody knows the outline. Just look it up online. John Hamm commando. You can see the outline, and
Jesus Christ, you can see it.
It's massive, guys.
All right, so on that note, let's get into the movie review of the week. Has anybody seen Two Guns?
No,
but what about, we've seen Word of Millers.
Okay.
Can we talk about that?
But isn't that coming out, though?
Yeah, coming out Friday. Should we maybe give, like, we could review it this week for the folks at home. No, or would it be better to review next week?
Yeah, at this point, because we don't really have a review, go for the, let's get the preview review.
All right.
If that makes any sense.
Go ahead, Gallifrey, let's start.
All right. I liked it. I liked Word of Millers, because when I first saw the trailer, I thought, okay, this is some kind of, you know, just a comedy flick, and it had no meaning, and it was just pointless laughter. But when I watched it, the jokes were actually very funny and quite intelligent, because they're offensive jokes always work. And before we even went to the cinema, the guys, I don't know, they were film representatives or something, they were telling us that there's a lot of vulgarity in this film, and that's true. There's a lot of swearing, and it worked. It worked to its advantage. It's a very funny film, especially the first half of it. And the actors were phenomenal. They had great chemistry with each other. Jennifer Aniston and the others.
Jason Sudeikis.
Whatever. By the way, Jennifer Aniston aged remarkably well. She looks gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Yes, I think many men would like this movie, because inside it, Jennifer Aniston plays a stripper. However.
Nude scene?
This is what we're going to say. Wait, the sad part. Oh, you want to continue?
She does. Going? She has contracts. She never shows her body. She would never be nude on film.
Yeah, so this is the weird part. You have an R-rated comedy where you actually see there's a testicle joke, very reminiscent of Something About Mary in the beginning. So you see balls, you see penis, you see a bunch of stuff, but, and you have Jennifer Aniston stripping in a strip bar, and you see her stripping, and she doesn't take off much, you know, after, you know, when she's in her lingerie.
Well, they cut it.
No, because she goes back to her, like, makeup chamber with her, with her bra and her underwear on.
She put it back on. There's a cut. We assume she took it off.
You see Jennifer Aniston dance on a pole and strip in parentheses, strip. And you don't see boobs, you don't see anything like that. So that's the one thing I found odd. I thought it was because they were trying to keep a PG rating. But then I saw, a big scrotum, which is
I don't know why the show has gone to this level, but we're talking about Jon Hamm's dick and scrotum and what the hell, man?
It was a weird week. But seriously, I, full disclosure, when I saw that Jon Hamm was going to be the next Batman, I wrote online pictures of Jon Hamm. And one of the pictures to appear on Google Images was him going commando. That's one thing. Also, I saw Word of Millers. Inside Word of Millers, one of the funniest jokes involves a swollen scrotum. So, there you
go. Anyway, but what would you rate this, Will?
I would rate this...
what it was. For a comedy film...
Seven. I'll say why. Because I only found the first half funny. It happens often with comedy films. I love exchange between characters. I love setups. I love getting to know the characters and seeing them bounce off each other. The communications, the kind of apatow dialogue that you see sometimes. That is stellar. And that happens often in the beginning of a film. Then when you get into the actual plot-related stuff, I don't care. The movie turns into, like, there's a narcotics thing going on, a drug chase, stuff like that. You know, a bit more action. I never need this. Movies to me like Step Brothers or 40-Year-Old Virgin, which are just, I guess, gags the whole way through with some heart. I have a lot of fun with that. When you have, like, I guess, chase scenes, I don't need them. But that's just my personal opinion. So that's why I give it a 7 on 10.
Me too. I give it a 7 on 10. I like the characters a lot. I found the actors were able to work with each other, and they had great jokes with each other. And you saw at the end of the film, there was like some kind of gag reel as well. And it seemed like a lot of the times these actors were just sort of winging it. That was impressive.
Yes, they were. This is, to me, the second funniest movie of the summer. I know that people went to Grown Ups. They were burned on that. Hangover 3 was a horrendous, horrendous film. You know, as a comedy. This one worked really well as a comedy. However, I still find that the jokes in Fast and the Furious 6 were the funniest I've seen all summer.
Wait, This Is the End was very funny.
Oh, right, This Is the End. Darn. No. Okay, this is the third funniest movie I've seen this summer. Sorry, guys.
All right, so let's get into the weekend box office for this week. Kebo Trek, Two Guns, $27.1 million. A little low for a Denzel movie, no?
I'd say overall it's maybe slightly lower, but not too far from what we're used to. And the thing with Denzel movies is they usually have pretty good legs. So even though it didn't have a massive opening, I think it'll do well enough while they'll be happy. I'm not sure how his movies usually do worldwide, but I'm expecting a small drop off next week. So in the end, I think it'll be fine.
I know the studios were a bit disappointed with the number.
Well, I know, I think his last movie did about $40 million. I can't remember what it was.
Is that the train one?
I can't remember, but I remember hearing that his last one did about $40 million, I believe. But, I mean, if they're not totally happy, I expect we're going to see a low drop-off. So in the end, I think the movie will be okay.
Wolverine came in second with $21.3 million, a drop-off of 60%. It's got a total domestic gross of $94 million. The Smurfs 2 debuted with, $17.5 million. With a budget of $105 million, it's got a total domestic gross currently of $27 million. The Conjuring came in at number 4 with $13 million. It's got a total domestic of 107, another horror movie doing well. We're going to see one every week, I'm telling you. Despicable Me 2 rocked in another $10.1 million. It's got a total domestic of $326. Grown Ups 2 came in with $7.9 million. It's got a total domestic of $116. Turbo came in with $6.2 million. It's got a total domestic of $69. Red 2 came in at number 8 with $5.5. The Heat, number 9 with 4.6, it's got a total domestic of 150 and a run off the top 10. Pacific Rim with $4.4 million. Let's get into the movies coming out this week. We got a big one to start off. Elysium, let's play the trailer quickly and get your thoughts.
I need to get to Elysium. Whoever has this has the power to override their whole system.
Hey, bring down the bone saw!
This ain't gonna kill me. You can save everyone.
We're gonna break into the most heavily guarded place in the universe.
Oh, yeah. They will hunt you to the edge of the Earth for this.
I'm really excited for this one. I actually want to see this in the theaters. Quick synopsis, I guess. There's this kind of, I don't know if it's a station near the moon or it's like a space station or something, but or a planet just close to the Earth. But it, essentially, it's a place where, you know, all the rich people live and all the diseases are cured. And, you know, it's like a paradise land and everybody's suffering on Earth. And Matt Damon has to go up there and start some shit. And you got Jodie Foster in it. I think it's going to be really interesting. Let's get a quick yay or nay. Start with Kebo Trek.
Absolutely, yeah, and I'll see it in the theater with you if you want. There were three kind of movies, After Earth, Elysium, and Oblivion, like, I kind of saw the trailers roughly around the same time, and this was the one I wanted to see by far the most, so it's a definite yay for me.
Heavy set.
Matt Damon.
That's your answer?
I'm a yay on this, but I'm very much not... I'm kind of a little bit over the halfway mark. If I see this, it'll be a last resort thing or a cheap theater, but I am semi-interested in it.
Will, man, are you into this movie?
Nay.
Oh, yeah? How come?
This is the same guy who did The Sixth Man, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. I hate having political commentary stuck in my face. Like, it's this is a future where, like, all the rich people are here and there's no disease and all the scums are here. It's like 99% and all that crap. I go to the movies... for escapism, at least at this point in my life right now. Okay, well, I guess this is where I am in my life right now. So I go there too for escapism, like Inception. We'll take that as a sci-fi movie or Star Trek 2. So
you tell me there's no political commentary in Star Trek 2.
I'm saying Star Trek 2 is not thinking about political commentary firsthand when making the movie. Star Trek 2 to me doesn't have political commentary. You know, it's not force feeding that, you know, to you.
Gallifrey, let's get your thoughts.
I would watch it, but maybe on a cheapy Tuesday or someone, like, bought my ticket.
Yeah, well, if it's not me, I don't know what's going to happen.
Always want something for nothing, you, eh?
Or you know what? If you guys take me to it, I'll go watch it with you. But, yeah, I probably wouldn't
I'm not paying for you, though.
Okay, you won't pay for me, but I'll go with people, you know, because it's like a last resort.
If they drag me there with a gun to the back of my head, guess I'll go.
But old school's going to go on, like, a not cheapy Tuesday night.
Oh, well, look, if it's with friends and it's fun and we're going as a group and we could talk about it, I don't see why I have to.
I don't want
to
hear Will bitch about political commentary if I'm going.
No, I would not be going. Trust me. It'd be only Gallifrey.
Besides, it's Matt Damon. He's good. I like him.
Matt Damon.
Compared to Ben Affleck, I like this guy.
We're not going to get into Ben Affleck versus Matt Damon discussion right now. And that's for another podcast.
All right. We have one more coming out this week. It was actually reviewed not too long ago. Let's play the trailer for We're the Millers and get your thoughts afterwards.
So how was work this evening, neighbor?
I need a lap dance, table 5. Don't get too close. The guy smells like asparagus pee and he's got a hook hand.
You're not a neighbor. You're a pot dealer.
I have a smidge of marijuana down in Mexico. Bring it back here by Sunday night. I will pay you $100,000.
It was way out of my league.
You don't have a choice.
What the hell's that?
I bought an orca.
I make a lot of money.
You're probably going to get searched at the border. You could wear a disguise.
Bane, Batman, something like that.
Oh, there's no drugs in here. You have nothing to worry about.
How would you like to make 10 grand?
Drug dealing?
It's not drug dealing. It's smuggling. Me, crossing the border alone? Huge red flag. But families,
hi!
They don't get a second look. So I need you to be my wife.
Come on!
Look, I hired this dork that lives in my building and a little gutter punk.
Kenny, meet your new sister.
I've always wanted a sister.
Get it off of me.
We just have to dress up like a squeaky clean all-American family. From rags to riches,
pat the bag of ditches. This is my son, Kenny Miller, and my lovely daughter,
Casey.
Jesus.
Hola, I'm here to pick up a smidge of pot.
This is not a smidge. You got me moving enough weed to kill Willie Nelson, man.
Is this part of your plan?
You folks can make camp with the Fitzgeralds tonight.
When you've been married as long as we have, you're looking to spice things up a bit.
I've never touched another woman before.
I would be okay with that.
So I guess we're swinging.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Ooh.
There we go.
I'll touch you if you touch me. Hey, little lady, don't you say maybe. And I can leave right now.
I really like your family.
Is that a
rocket? You know
rocket
what that is? Is that
or,
a cucumber? They're interesting. The big black penis.
It's a skateboard.
Skateboard, great.
Of course it is.
The big black skateboard. Turns out that we stole from an international drug dealer.
You all die now as a family.
We're not even a real family.
My wife, she's just a cheap stripper.
Okay, prove it.
Let's get naked, shake your money maker. Baby, I'ma show you how to.
Have some respect. That's your mother.
We have been shot at.
Go, go, go!
Kenny's been bitten by a tarantula.
I can't feel my bingo.
Will you relax?
How about a little music?
I seen a rainbow yesterday, but too many storms have come and gone, leaving a trace of not what God given me. Is it because my life in 10 shades of gray? I pray all 10 fade away, seldom praising for the sunny day.
This actually looks pretty good. I don't know if I go and see it like the first week, but I would cheapy Tuesday this. It'd be a yay for me. Heavy set. Let's get your thoughts, man.
As a comedy, I was like very on the border of this, but I think the more and more I do see of it and everything, it makes me more inclined, so I'm a yay.
Kebo Trek.
Not much to say, but nay for me.
Nay? Oh, okay. There you go. All right. Let's check out what's coming up on DVD. Kebo Trek, give us the insight.
The one that obviously sticks out, and we mentioned it briefly, is Oblivion, starring Mr. Tom Cruise. I don't know if anyone has seen it, but...
I definitely want to check this out.
Yeah, same here. I did want to see it in the theater, but I ended up not having the time or just got lazy. But it's definitely something I'd like to check out. There is, I don't know if anyone saw The Place Beyond the Pines, starring Ryan Gosling, Bradley Cooper. So I guess that would be more a movie for the female variety.
The Gallifrey variety.
I'm not sure female variety, because it's not that kind of movie either. It's, you remember, you know Blue Valentine?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, also Ryan Gosling. I would say it's one of those deep dramas which aren't necessarily heartwarming. It's not like The Notebook. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's not a romantic kind of drama. It's just a very hard
drama. Does everybody die and they get hit by a nuke?
I don't know. Probably.
All right.
I'm guessing something more on the lines of 21 grams or something of such.
Mm. And I guess the last thing I'll mention, just because the way this podcast has gone, is On the Road, starring Kristen Stewart.
Oh, I watched that. It was really good.
And I guess maybe you can guess why I was going to mention it, about a certain car scene. Wait, was
actually,
that the
I'm one? I have no clue what this movie is. I was just making a joke. I don't know what
this is. I think this one is most famous for her jacking off two guys in a car at once.
What?
Okay, wait, what's this podcast happening?
Sorry, it was with today's podcast is going, I figure I'd add that in for fun.
It's about 30% cock.
Welcome to Old School at the Movies, episode 47, hashtag no homo.
Well, you know what I like about yeah. Kevbo? You've brought in two cocks for the price of one.
There you go.
It's going to be like cock at the movies at this point.
Old cock at the movies.
But you know,
old cock at the movies.
But guys, you forgot Percy Jackson, the Sea of Monsters.
If it was Medea, Sea of Monsters, I'd go see it.
What if
we
it
also
was,
did mention that Planes was coming out with big Pixar movie. God.
Yeah, that's why I'm not a kids guy.
It's not,
Gallifrey's. Son, you're right.
I love
not
this.
A Pixar movie. Yeah, it's Disney movie.
Guys, quote from Old School, I'm not a kids guy. That's great.
Good point, Heavy. You're right.
Yeah, that's what's weird.
It's not a Pixar film. A lot of people are making that connection, yeah. And I have a feeling that is going to be the downfall of this movie. Well, it's going to make enough money because people are expecting it. But if it doesn't hold up and that word of mouth gets out, it's going to be, it really is not Cars.
No, it's not. Well, first of all, Cars is a lesser Pixar movie. I believe everybody, agreed with that over the years. It was the more merchandise-related Pixar film. Anyways,
I was going to say, I'm going to still throw it out there. It's what I said last time. I know a lot of boys who'd love that movie, like little kids, male boys, they loved it.
Who love what?
Planes.
They love planes. They love cars. They love
way too much talk at cock and way too much talk at little boys.
I was like,
you're so immature, Mr. Old School.
In any case, guys,
That's Mr. Old Cock to you.
But wait, what if it was Chris Jackson and a sea of monster cocks? What if it was that?
You know what? I would go see it just. That's awesome.
Anyways, the reason why we brought it up is because I know Gallifrey and I are fans of Nathan Fillion.
And he's in there, baby!
And he's in very few actual theatrical releases, and this is one of them. So
he's just getting his paycheck on Castle right now.
You know, he actually loves being Rick Castle.
You know,
he loves having a job.
But I think he's playing himself in Percy Jackson.
What?
He didn't.
No. He's playing a Greek god.
Okay, well, he talks like Castle.
He talks all the time. Anyways, we just want to mention the Sea of Monster Cocks.
And Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
All right. Check out what's new on Netflix. American side, we got Breaking Bad Season 5. WWE For All Mankind. I don't know if this is like a Mick Foley DVD on his personal life, if it's a because he writes children's books. So I don't know if it's like a wrestling DVD or what that is. I'll check it out. Arbitrage, that's with Richard Gere. That was actually not too bad. I mean, it's Netflix watchable. On the American side as well, we've got Digimon. Okay, I believe that's it. I think the Canadian side might have it won again this week. We got Harry Podhead and the Deadly Hollows, Breaking Bad as well. We've also got Columbiana. That's not too bad. It's watchable. Actually,
Columbiana's
movie.
Fine. Columbiana's
yeah,
pretty
yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Chasing Mavericks, Kev Bocek's favorite film, and Flight. I really recommend watching Flight. Sorry, I think the Canadian one's got it.
Yeah, for sure. With Flight. Yeah.
All right. At this point. Oh yeah, we got some feedback. And Gallifrey, are you a fan of Daria?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so in the show notes, I don't know if you checked this out, but this is kind of a play on the Daria animated series. This was a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead. So she was a character in Beavis and Butthead, and it was a kind of an animated series that was on for a couple of years. So one of my favorite actresses, Aubrey Plaza, she plays like a live-action Daria, and it's actually just a spoof from College Humor. But so if you want to check that out, it's in the show notes. This was submitted by MJR, and since you're a fan, would you go see this if this was actually a film?
You know what? It's old school. When you posted that up, I actually thought it was a real film. I believed it to be true, and I was disappointed when you told me it wasn't. I would love to see Daria in the big screen. I think she's funny. I have a few. I didn't like some of the cast members that were in that fake trailer. But other than that, the female lead, that's a great
actress. Aubrey Plaza is perfect for
that. Yeah, she is perfect for Daria. She did the voice. She was spot on. That's how Daria sounds. I was very surprised at how effective that was.
Also, I noticed that you wanted to discuss Sherlock is coming out very soon.
Yes, that's right. Sherlock, the new series, the third series is in the, I don't know, in the makings, or they're done filming, and it's going to be released soon. I am so excited because I don't know if anyone follows the BBC's Sherlock, but where they ended it last time at the end of series two, I'm so surprised, and I'm anticipating how they're going to bring the character back.
No spoilers, no spoilers.
Okay, just how they're going to recover from what they did in the last episode. I'm very excited for this. It's going to be great. And you know what? More Cumberbatch on my screen is always a good thing.
Oh, God.
He's so sexy.
More Cumberbatch.
I was going to say that.
How do you guys catch
beat
this?
Me to the- it.
Damn catch you. What?
You guys are so dirty. I wasn't even thinking
this
that.
This show has been dirty for the last hour.
By the way, you know what? I want to go back on something. Canadian Netflix does not win. American Netflix wins.
Why?
By far.
How so?
Why?
They have Breaking Bad. That
we have Breaking Bad.
Wait, we have Breaking Bad?
We have McFoley.
You know what? In that case, I guess we win.
All right. We're going to end the show on it's called Honest Trailers. It's on YouTube. It's fantastic.
Oh, I love it. It's good.
They review a bunch of movies. And since we're doing the chick flick episode coming up soon, I figure let's play off with Honest Trailers' version of Twilight.
based on the terrible books from one of the shittiest authors of all time, comes a movie adaptation for teenage girls who aren't smart enough for the Hunger Games. You'll be on the edge of your seat as voiceover describes everything.
I would miss my harebrained mother. I used to spend 2 weeks there almost every summer. My first day at a new school.
Kind of like a book, actually.
My dad's Charlie.
This catatonic teenager will fall for the world's gayest vampire. A film that teaches young girls that the only thing that matters is finding a man. A 100-year-old man.
So how long have you been like this?
Since 1918.
But don't worry, it's not pedophilia, because he looks 17. Together, they will have the romance of a lifetime. Expressed entirely in stares. And even more stares. A love challenged by the fact that he might accidentally fuck her to death. This special effect and her inability to pour ketchup. A film that conditioned a generation of girls to think that love is keeping tabs on each other every waking moment.
Did you follow me?
I feel protective of you.
And even non-waking moments.
I like watching you sleep.
Do you do that a lot?
Just the past couple of months.
I know this looks creepy, but it's really romantic in the movie. I promise. Starring Anila, Shovelface, and Troy Polamalu. Twilight. It's just a metaphor for abstinence. Seriously, look it up.